This morning I want to talk about being blindsided. The message is called Conflict in the Garden, but you'll understand what that means in just a minute. My text, 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Have you just thought about that? Huh? I can't believe this. Is that back? I kept it. People don't know my story. Wait till I tell everything that happened to me. Peter said, you know what? Sometimes, for a season of time, you know, sometimes God wants to know if he can trust us enough to look like fools for him for an extended period of time. Can he trust you to look like a fool sometimes? Because you're just sort of trying to figure it out, the Helen Keller school of spirit leadership. You know, you're banging into furniture, you got your shins are bruised. But you know, the Lord says, sometimes there's a season of time. It's not going to last forever, but during this season, trials come. Unexpected things. I want to talk about today. When you're blindsided by unexpected things. And I want to talk just about a principle in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. It's a parable of Jesus. It's a heavenly story. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds or tares among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters. First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. May God bless the reading of his word. What is this earthly story with a heavenly meaning? Jesus said, the kingdom, it's just like if you're tilling the ground and you're sowing wheat, and did you know there's a governing principle in all of life? It's called the principle of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, as long as the world exists, this principle will work. You sow it, you reap it. Most of our lives are harvests as a result of what we have sown. Here's my theory, and I could be wrong. I'm teachable. This is what I think, and I may be wrong. I think 99% of all of our troubles we bring on ourselves by sowing what we sow and reaping what we reap. That's just my opinion. It's not a devil. The devil didn't get you pregnant. Demons didn't hover over the bed. You see what I'm saying? That's not how it is. What's the devil? No. You got arrested because you stole that stuff out of that store. It wasn't a demon. Wasn't Satan. It was you. Come on. Most of it is so. You sow peaches, you get peaches. You sow mercy, you get mercy. You know, what you sow, the quality of the seed dictates the harvest. There's no mystery to the history. In most of our lives, most of everything that's going on is totally understandable in terms of what we've been sowing. You sow bitterness, you get bitterness. I teach the babies, I say, what you sow is what you get. Okay? So that's the governing principle, but I want you to see this. So there's a field, but we're not just talking about vegetables. I want you to see principle here. And this is, I wish I knew this 35 years ago. I wish I knew everything 35 years ago. I wish I started in the Lord on this stuff. Because precepts are limited, but principles are helpful. This is a principle. There are times in life where you are blindsided. Now look in the story. They sow wheat, but while they're sleeping, an enemy comes and sows a tare. And did you notice it says, as the wheat appeared, just when you think it's getting good, just when you think you're reaching out to grab the fruit of harvest, a tare comes up, a weed comes up. You're blindsided by something. Has that ever happened to you in the slow motion act of reaching for the wheat? Something you didn't sow. Now, this is a rarity. Most everything you sow, but there are some things that you didn't sow that pop up out of left field and you're blindsided. Doing the best you can in that relationship and you think everything's fine and somebody leaves you, blindsided. And, you know, so we want to first make sure things in our lives are not a common thing we've sown, but I just want to encourage you to know you can be blindsided. There is conflict in the garden sometimes that you didn't do. Thank God. Can you imagine that? Just something you're honestly not responsible for. The devil has sown a weed in your life. Circumstances come, unexpected circumstances, things that you are not responsible for. You know, we are sometimes subject to the free will of others. Most evil, I think, is due to 99% to our own choices, our own freedom. But you know, there are also evils that come as a result of the freedom of others, misused. But you're not responsible for the sins of others against you. You're responsible with the sins you commit in your life. See, that's why in our childhood we may have gone through woundings or deprivations or sufferings or whatever, but you are responsible for thereafter for every decision that you make in terms of that. Not for who sinned against you, but for who you sin against. See, whenever you want to get all just about somebody needing to be judged as a sinner, realize you're a victim, but you're a victimizer too. You've victimized other people. Don't get on that high horse. Come on. You've sinned against others too. You're not just the person sinned against all the time. But I want you just to see this principle. Most of life is explainable in terms of seed time and harvest and what we've done. But there are times of being blindsided by the enemy. This is when you didn't sow this. You don't know where it came from. Do you notice in the parable? They don't know what happened. I didn't see that coming. Did anything ever happen you didn't see coming in your Christian life? It's just like, bang! It seems counterintuitive. How can you have wheat at the same time you have weeds and tares? How can you be blessed and at the same time fighting a curse? It's a tension you got to get comfortable with in the Christian life and not just realize it is what it is, how it is. Just because the tare came up doesn't mean the weed is not valuable, but tares, weeds, represent the work the enemy sows against you. Did you know from the time you were little, God not only sees everything, but the devil only sees some things, but he'll target a kid in a house because he sees the anointing of God on that child. So he'll sow a tear of a weakness into their life, a vulnerability into their life, so that when they come to the point of harvest in your life and you're just about ready to grab the wheat, something the enemy has sown comes right up in your face and blindsides you. And you're just going, hey, I didn't sow that. That is the devil. Yeah, that's right. The enemy has been sowing tares in his design, but here it is. He wants to bring the tare right up at the moment that the wheat is surfacing. Did you know your greatest battles will happen just before your greatest breakthrough? It's just the way it is in the Bible. It is. Don't kill yourself when there's a battle. The battle is proof that you're standing at the door of a breakthrough and a new season, and that's where this tension comes. Conflict in the garden. You've just been sowing wheat. You're sowing what you're supposed to sow. You're doing what you're supposed to do insofar as you know. And then you go to sleep and somebody comes in and sows a tare. And you didn't see that coming. You didn't watch them do it. But I want you to see the response. You know, sometimes when we're blindsided, sometimes when something that the enemy's sown has come up right along with the good wheat, we want to fix it real quick. We want a quick rescue. Look at what they say in the parable. They say, you have wheat, you have weeds. Do you want us to go and separate it now? Have you ever tried to separate a complex situation? God's a good surgeon. He knows exactly how just to go in and extract what he wants to extract. If we go in looking for cancer with a butter knife, we're going to get, oh my, we start getting into things. When you're blindsided, the first instinct is to fix it. Where did this come from? Let's go and try to say, and the householder said, no. Don't go and if you go and you right now use your strength to try to untie these knots, if you use your strength to try to get the tares away from the wheat, you may pluck up some of the good trying to get out the bad. Leave it alone. You know, a few weeks ago I did a message call. Leave it alone. Some things you don't call back. You don't respond to the email. You don't get into the tar. It's like falling into the La Brea tar pits. You know, somebody said one time, they said, they saw we had some association with Pastor Joel, and they said, what do you and Joel have in common? I said, well, we have a common message of hope, but the difference is I fell in the La Brea tar pits. And God pulled me out and has been scraping me off for 35 years. Joel was falling in and God stopped him from falling in and saved him. He saved us both. But I went head first into the tar. And I'm just, ow, ooh, ah. Oh, is that worship at Bethel? No, ow, oh, God. You know, getting tar off is a nasty thing. I used to tar and feather people because if that doesn't kill you, it's going to severely interrupt your life. So I said, yeah, we both fell, but he was caught before he hit the tar and was saved from everything. I was saved out of everything. So we all have our place. Nothing in common with regard to the tar pit, but we're both saved. Some people look more intact than you, but that's all right. Don't compare yourself with them. God's scraping tar off you. I trust the tar babies. That's what this church is. You know what Dennis said? I always say you can strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. Dennis said the logo of this church ought to be a bunch of crooked sticks in a little, little basket. Now, the crooked ways he'll make play, he'll make straight, but the crooked sticks he likes to keep because he alone can strike a straight blow with a crooked stick, then put it back. So we're at Bethel, we're a bunch of crooked sticks. You know, praise the Lord, welcome. And that's all right. Crooked ways he wants to be made straight, but he loves his little crooked kids. He did put them in there. Wouldn't that be great? A bunch of crooked sticks in a bundle. Bethel Christian Fellowship. You see, God wants to get the glory. So when you're blindsided, when there's conflict in the garden, when some tare or weed rises up that you didn't sow and you don't even know where it came from, what do? I mean, you can start doubting last week, start doubting the goodness of God. You can go into factual doubt and think, oh my God, why did that happen? That hardens into compound emotional doubt and you're in pain. And you can fall into volitional doubt where you just say, I don't want to have anything to do with anything. Don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. But you know what? We can also be a ping pong ball that just, no matter what the waters are doing, we're just right on the top. Just on the top. Just float around. You've seen a ping pong ball doesn't have any problem. With the water is no threat to the ping pong ball. It just gets into a little zen mode and just sort of survives everything. That's, you have to learn this principle, loved one. These blindsiding, unexpected things in life that hit shouldn't shock us. Peter said, dear friends, don't be surprised at this fiery ordeal for a season that may just come. It's normal. What does it do? Well, I think God is doing a lot of things in all of our hearts. Did you know there's nothing that reveals the integrity of who you are and your stand for God than being blindsided by difficult and unexpected things? It shows who you are. It gives you an opportunity to say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get better, not bitter. I don't care what the enemy has sown. Loved one, did you know the enemy sees you and has a plan for your life? Satan sees you and has a plan for your life. Really, he wants to obstruct, steal, kill, and destroy. So if he can sow a weakness into your heart at 7 years of age that just goes in as a thorn and festers, until you're 25 and some wheat starts coming up and things start getting good and fruit starts happening and then, whoom, there you're blindsided. Why did this happen, Lord? Well, you know what? We can get our eyes off the circumstances and the situations and the weeds and the tares and we look up to the Son of God and say, Lord, you're with me. You've called me. If God is for me, who can be against me? No tare sown in this garden to mix things up can stop the everlasting sovereign will of God for my life. I want to encourage you. No devil in hell is powerful enough to stop God's will. If God is God, he will prevail. And if he isn't, then let's quit worshiping him right now, close the Bible, shut the church, and worship whoever or whatever you want. He is a mighty God, and he is able to step into the garden when there's conflict, when there's confusion, when you've just been broadsided by something. There's no shame in being blindsided. Don't feel ashamed that something hit you that you had nothing to do with. You know, for true love to exist, freedom has to exist. Here's how it works. You have to be free. In a world where you can choose to love somebody, you can choose to hate them. You know, I always see one of my mentors use this example, you know, let's say you're on a date with a particularly lovely young lady and you go to dinner and a movie and this and that and you say, did you like the dinner? Oh, yes. Did you like the movie? Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, just one more thing. Love me. She goes, well, you know, nice dinner, nice movie, but you can't coerce love. Force love is not love. Force love is rape. And God is not a divine rapist. Where there's freedom to say yes, there's freedom to say no. And you know what? In a world where there are other free creatures than us, you may go left and they choose to go right and you're going to collide. You'll be blindsided in life. But don't give up hope. God knows. Look at in the story what happens. He says, don't try to fix it. You know, sometimes trying to get a quick fix in a time of trial messes things up more than anything else. Oh, there's a wheat. There's a tare. Oh, I'm going to jump in with my talents, gifts, and abilities and separate the two. And the wisdom of God says, don't, no. Don't try to, just wait. Just be still and know that I'm God. Just wait a bit. But Lord, it's frantic. It's crazy. Man, I went through so many decades of pain wondering, what did that happen for? Why did that happen? Oh my God, I'm in crisis. And I'm a thinker. When something goes wrong, I want to find out why. I'm not going to stop obsessing about it until I figure 2 + 2 is. But sometimes things that come your way are just crazy. You're just blindsided. There's no meaning in it. It means nothing. What does this mean? Money doesn't mean God's with you, and lack of money doesn't mean God's not with you. In fact, it's meaningless. You are the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests, period. From eternity to eternity, got nothing to do with where you're born in Ethiopia, you're born in L.A., you're born. All this other stuff means nothing. Peter said, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to be blindsided. Unexpected things will arise, but you can be calm in the face of mixture and conflict in the garden. Someone say amen. Sometimes there are things sown that you didn't plant. And when things come out of nowhere and it unexpected strikes you, you're just at the point of fruitfulness. And isn't it funny? When you're being fruitful, that's when the enemy sows a tear. He didn't sow tares in everybody's life because not everybody is of any threat to him whatsoever. He only sows tares in fields where he sees God's hand. I have a friend who, in his family of origin, the enemy just chose him and bombarded him. The other siblings were fine. They grew up, you know, like semi-whole people. But this guy was crippled with insecurities and weakness from the time he was little. And I told him, it's because Satan sees the anointing. He doesn't know everything, but he sees the anointing of God, just like other people do looking at your life. They see your talent, your gift, your ability. You're the exceptional child in the home. And so the enemy will sow a tear and target you so that he can somehow cripple or demean or delay or stop the work of God in your life. You may look confident on the outside, but inside the enemy goes, she's insecure. She's not sure of herself. She doesn't really think she's pretty. She doesn't really think she's valuable. So when fruitfulness starts to come to her, I'm going to blindside her with that old wound. See if I can't hinder. Loved one, the conflict in the garden and the mixture of the garden may be true. The devil's got a plan for your life, but God is in ultimate charge. You see what happens in the story? He says, don't try to fix it. Let it alone. And God says, I will take care. I'm going to step in and I'm going to pluck the tear out and I'm going to bind it up and burn it. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. This battle you're in right now is the Lord's. Whether it's a financial thing, a relational thing. See, the thing about us is we're in tension. In the kingdom, crushing olives produces oil. I mean, there's something beautiful about the crushing. There's something beautiful. And all your struggling and all your reaching and all of your, and I don't know about you, but I'm just talking about myself. You know, I'm always fighting something. I'm trying to fight less. I'm trying to just do everything God tells me to do so there's no extra conflict or boundary problems in my life or this and that. But you know, I've started to realize after walking with the Lord for many years that nothing is allowed in my life that first is not allowed by the Son of God. It has to pass through his bosom before it hits my life. So whatever tear blindsides you, God's going to work that into the tapestry. Don't worry. That little chip mosaic will be added in such a way that there will be, you back up and you'll see a grander picture. There may be conflict in your heart right now, and it may be a result of things you haven't sown. But good news, there is no reaping without conflict. If you sow the right thing and you stand and you walk with God, you will see a harvest, but not without conflict. Now, I've heard a lot of ministry folks that seem to say if you do this thing and that thing and you push the right button and pull the right lever, you'll never have a conflict. That is a lie. That is not in the Bible. All biblical heroes were struggling with wheat and tares. All of them were getting frantic. Should I fix this? Remember Abraham, real man of faith? God says, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby with Sarah. And he goes, okay. And 20 years go by. You ever had 20 years go by? Hello? Hello? Remember that promise I got when I was 16? Mm-hmm. That's it. I haven't changed my mind. I haven't changed mine. 20 years doesn't change the promise of God. 100 years won't change the promise of God. If he has spoken it, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. So it's interesting. You get to a place where you go, maybe I didn't hear right. And so Abraham tries to help God out. Instead of Sarah, takes Hagar from Egypt and produces Ishmael in his flesh, in his own strength. Have you ever just produced an Ishmael? By the way, the problem with them is you got to feed them. They look a lot like daddy, but they don't look anything like mama. You know, look sort of like you, but you got to feed your Ishmaels. So I don't want to birth anymore because I can't afford to feed any more Ishmael situations in my life. You know what I mean? Looking around, looks like Abraham. How you doing? You know, but it's just not. It's not. And Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the child they were destined to have that looked like daddy and looked like mama, and that was the child of promise. Sometimes we need to just thank God He did bless Ishmael and made a great people out of him. But Abraham, the rest of his life, went, oh, I shouldn't have tried to manage that one. God is big enough to take care of himself and fulfill his word in your life. So even if there's mixture in your garden right now, even if you're being assaulted and blindsided, I want you to know right now, we always want to know why. In John 9, chapter 3, the scripture says that a man born blind was brought to Jesus, and the disciples asked, as always, a stupid theological question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They wanted to, you know, they're putting a life circumstance into a logical, reasonable framework, trying to figure out. If you're trying to figure everything out, give it up. Because they said, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Did you know some things happen and they defy reason and they defy logic? Quit trying to figure it out. But sometimes God allows something to happen just to show how big he is. So when he comes through and raises a dead thing, everybody goes, that was God. That was God. When he comes in and raises and heals the eyes of a man born blind, everyone says, where has it been heard from the foundation of the world that a man can open the eyes of the blind? Some things that have been allowed, tears that have blindsided your life, aren't about your sin, because you're full of that. Word, thought, and deed. You always will be. You may look holier than the guy next to you, but if you're less than God Almighty in perfect holiness, you're toast. So just accept that. I mean, isn't the devil wicked? He comes up and says, why, that happened because you sinned. Well, in 72 hours, we've got a list of sins we could blame it on. And he'll say, but it was that one. That was the wicked sin. I have my dear friends. I don't want to start a conflict, but I'm closing. But the folk that always love to tell me that you can lose your salvation can never tell me the sin you have to commit to do it. Ever heard about that? Thought about that? Okay, so I'm saved on Monday, and I do what on Tuesday that makes him jump out of my heart on Wednesday? What is it now? Is it a sexual sin? Is it a, oh, I don't know. But... mind your ways. It's like, what do I have to do so I can avoid that particular sin? Maybe my little pet sin isn't the one that gets Jesus to jump out of my heart. Now, I don't want to be cruel, but some doctrines are not scriptural. You got three or four verses banging around in context. Bring them to me. I'll explain them to you. If you are a child of God, there's nothing you can do or believe to unmake that situation. Jesus said, if you come to me, my Father's grip secures you, my double grip secures you, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand, even you. Now, there's something beautiful about that, because that means no matter how conflicted things get, he will keep me in his palm. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never hit, leave, or demean. In my book, Tardema, I talk about the three ways we approach people. When they don't please us, we hit them. You know, you did something to me, I'm going to get you. Leaving, you did something to me, I'm going to leave you. Or you did something to me, I'm going to demean you. Hitting, leaving, and demeaning. God never uses those three relationally in Scripture because they don't work ever. I don't know how your mama was when you grew up, but my mom was very passive-aggressive. If you displeased her, she withdrew her love. What's the matter, Mom? Nothing. Don't touch me. 3 to 4 days of us walking on eggshells. No, all the message or God picture I got out of that was, if you do one thing wrong, you will be hit, left, or demeaned. And she'd calm down in about 3 days. And it was never resolved, but she was just, Mama was okay. I was like, oh, thank God. And we were waiting for the next time we displeased her to have love withdrawn. Isn't that a wicked thing? If you withdraw your love from your child when they displease you, you're teaching them a lie. They're going to grow up thinking, I'm only loved when I do the right thing. I'm only loved if I have the right thing. I'm only loved if I keep tap dancing for Mama or Daddy to keep them happy. That's rough. That's exhausting. To be a little child when you should be resting and playing and you got to keep your parents entertained and a nose on and, and keep honey and keep them, you know, from one another. I promise I'm closing. My home was an interesting home. My daddy was a saint. My daddy was a godly, loving, hugged, kissed. He was wonderful. Mama was a little passive-aggressive. And God bless them both. They're in heaven, so I can talk about them. And they're hearing this all through that beautiful filter that just makes them go, oh, we're being spoken of, Bruce. But all they hear is, loved one, you had certain things communicated to you in your family of origin. There was mixture in your garden from the time you were born. Mama and daddy and aunt and uncle and grandma and uncle, everybody who represented a male or female authority figure shaped you in some way, and the devil used to sow some tear in your soul. Good news is God will bring him up. He'll bring the harvest up, and he will remove the tear. He knows just when to pluck it out. Did you know God knows just when to pull you out of the fire? Jesus, Lord God, hey, where are you? And he goes, 10 more minutes. I'm done. No, you can't take anymore. I can't take it. He will not allow me to be tested above that which is meant. Jesus goes, put him in the kiln again. Heat it up. I'm done. No, you're not done. You're done when I say you're done. And so it seems cruel sometimes because he'll leave you in the kiln while you're being fired as a vessel. Get that glaze in just right. I can't take anymore. Yeah, you can. Remember when Jesus walked on the water towards the boat? They all said, ah, we're going to die. We're going to die. And Jesus just stood there on the water. He knows just when to, he'll pluck that tear out at just the right time. He'll pluck you out of the kiln at just the right time. He'll pluck that devil off you just the right time, but not until he gets everything he's going for in the storm. Let me conclude with this for the 15th time. God will bring a storm in your life until he gets everything he wants out of the storm, and then he will stop it, just like that. The story ends in a beautiful way. Wait till the end. God's going to pluck those tares, all those things that blindsided you, all those evils. He's going to remove the mixture from that garden. He's going to bring you wheat, a true harvest of peace, because he is a great and mighty Savior. So don't be surprised. Just say, oh, I was blindsided. Okay, that was a tear amongst the wheat. All right, I didn't sow that one, but you know what? My God's great, and he's going to pluck that tear out at just the right moment. But God loves to get the best he can and the most he can out of a transaction. All right, I want to pray. Come on up, guys. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now over the mixed garden, the mixture, Lord God, in the hearts of your people, in the lives of your children, the unexpected assaults and the blindsiding that has happened, things that we have not sown that have been assaulting the act of fruitfulness in our life. We stand and we look to you and we pray, oh God Almighty, that you would be great and mighty and that you would come down from heaven and that you would remove at the right time all of the tares, all of the assaults, all of the works of the enemy that have riddled our souls and that you would bring fruitfulness to us, wheat that remains, harvests of peace. Lord, I pray for those who are going through struggles right now because they're just about to break through into a whole new season of their life. Give them strength, Lord, to get through this season of mixture and to get into the new season of refreshment in Jesus' name. It's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to stay this way. But I want to encourage you, sometimes God's answers to prayer don't look like you were praying. You pray for trees and he'll give you acorns. Sometimes you pray for something and he gives you seed. You want bread, so he gives you grain. And you wanted a loaf of bread. But loved one, let's just accept as he answers prayers on his own terms right now. Father, we surrender to your opinion with regard to how our prayers should be answered. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom right now. Give us the grace to understand what is of God in our life, what is of the devil in our life, where the mixture is. Give us hope that we're going to come through this because you're going to bring us through. We bless you, we praise you, and we ask for miracles today in the hearts of your children. Raise dead things today. Give hope and beauty in exchange for ashes today. You. He is with you. You're going to come through as refined silver, as refined gold, but you will come through. The Lord is with you. Whatever the circumstances look like, you are the beloved of the Lord upon whom his favor rests. There's nothing you can do to earn his favor and attention. There's nothing you can do to lose his favor and attention. He loves you. Can you give God praise right there? Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.